You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. They will steer you straight with a 39.95 wheel alignment. Check it out at lakewoodchev.com. Who do you think's banged up, and who would be the guys potentially to have to come in if they can't go?
The banged up list would be everybody. and, you know, it's just this time of year, let's be honest, it's all just a matter of degrees. I would venture to say, and Jason, not that Jason, the other Jason, would know, and I sure concur, that any player who is this far into the playoffs who doesn't have some kind of an injury really hasn't been in a playoff game. It's almost impossible. So I think it's basically just down to who is the worst, how do you put it, the best of the worst as far as injuries go. And getting an honest answer about that right now is a very difficult thing to do. So I'd love to be able to hedge my bets, but I'm really waiting for the warm-up like everybody else.
Do you know, Chris Neal came into the series. I hadn't really played much at all during the playoffs. And he played, 230? But everyone's talking about the impact he had. Talk a little bit about that. And, you know, do you expect this to continue for Chris Neal and company?
Well, if Chris isn't one of the injured ones, then I think probably it will continue. And, you know, I get asked this all the time since that game, and I have pretty much the same answer. I have heard all the arguments about how can a guy who plays 226 really have an impact. People are blowing this out of proportion, and other people saying you have to understand that, you know, it's the threat. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter what I think or you think or a writer thinks or a guy doing advanced stats thinks. The only thing that matters is, does he have an impact on his teammates? So I spoke to his teammates, and his teammates say things like, you know what, I don't know how much he played. And then you tell them how much he played. He goes, wow. Well, and they say, but the thing is that you feel protected. You know, it's kind of like the missile's there. It's in the silo. Are the bay doors open or aren't they? The bay doors are open. So things kind of get cranky in a game. Boucher can throw him out there. But if he doesn't have to, he's not going to. Chris is 37. He doesn't skate as fast as he used to. There's a whole bunch of reasons why Chris doesn't play more than that. And that's reality. But the bottom line is, does he make his teammates feel more protected? Does he say things in the locker room before the game as the most experienced guy on the team with the most number of playoff games played? Yeah, he does. How is he on the bench? What does he say to the other team when they're skating by? What does the other team know about what Chris Neal will do if he has to? Those are all the things that come into it. And I know those are real. And I know there's no stat for those things, but I know they're real. The most important thing is, at the end of the day, it is a fact that the Ottawa players feel more protected when he is there. Whether that has an impact statistically or not, to me, is irrelevant. The only thing that is relevant is it has an impact on them. So that's the way I look at it. It's irrelevant what I think or don't think. It has an impact on them, and they're playing the game.
Dean, I would agree with you. I think there's many things that emotionally you can't track in a game, and Struds would probably agree. Being comfortable for a lot of players allows them to play better. Eric Karlsson, obviously, is very comfortable with the Ottawa. He's so comfortable, he'll even tell you what his injury is and not worry about it, which is great because it shows that all the myths of, well, geez, if you say what your injury is, people are going to try to go after it. I've always thought that was somewhat of a joke. But, you know, Derek Brassard and Bobby Ryan, two players who, you know, at different times of the season were up and down. You know, Bobby Ryan especially has awoken in the postseason. Pageot, of course, is going for the Cy Young with 6 goals, no assists yet. But, you know, they've had different guys at different times step up. But overall, do you think the Senators, you know, do they need more consistent offense across the board rather than one or two guys here and there?
Not really. And the reason I say that is because, to be frank with you, this team is not about how much they score. You look at this team last year, they were top 10 in the NHL the entire season offensively, and they couldn't make the playoffs. This year, they were, I think, 23rd or something like that in offense, but they cleaned up their goals against, their shots against, learned how to play defense. They move along. They win based on what they don't give up, not what they do score. They score enough, but just barely. They're the only team to make the playoffs with a negative goal differential. So for these guys, getting scoring from anybody, yeah, you got to score a goal or two. I'm not saying you don't score at all, but you know, the normal conversation that you usually have at this time of the year is, well, you know, everybody's got to get third and fourth line scoring. That's the difference. For these guys, to be honest with you, over the course of the season, some of their top 6 forwards score about as much as some third and fourth liners. That's not what this team is about. So they get as much offense as they need. They win or lose based on what they give up, not what they score.
Looking at this whole group, obviously Carlson rips it out, 30 minutes a night almost in the playoffs, which is just, it's mind-boggling. I still can't imagine playing that much. But the rest of the D, it's kind of, somewhat spread out, I suppose. But what are the contributions, again, outside of Carlson from the back end?
Well, I think probably the biggest thing, and I'm not sure that it can go on forever, but Dion Phaneuf is averaging 25 minutes in the playoffs. And I'm not sure that can continue. I'm not sure he can play at a high enough level at his age to be able to play 25 good minutes. He's a, he's a 21, 22 minute guy, and that's kind of the good spot for him to be in. So they've gotten good results from Dion, and things have gone well. But you do wonder, if these guys should, make it through this round and get into the conference final, can he go another series playing those kinds of minutes? That's a question. And I think probably the other question would be in the bottom pair. That's with the injury to Mark Borowiecki, that has put them in a tough spot. He is, he's a very important player on this team because of his physicality and the way they play. Their structure, as people talk about structure, their structure, though, is predicated on playing a left-wing defense lock. Him firing any of the left side defensemen, firing up in the neutral zone and making big contact is important to try and shut down, make the other team play on one side of the ice. And they are not as good a team when Borowiecki isn't there, despite the fact he's probably the lowest skilled player on the team. The role that he plays is very important to the structure of how they play as a team. So with him not being there, they've kind of flipped around in that third pair. And they've used Ben Harper, but he's huge. He's 6'7", but he's got limited experience. And Freddie Claesson is, I think, probably going to be back in there tonight. He played the last game, but again, very little experience. So they really have been flipping around in that third pair, and that's really where they're kind of thin right now. So the question to me would be, how long can they run Dion at those minutes? Number one and number two, they're always kind of on the edge about that third pair.
Dean, one last one for you. This series has been the ultimate homer series thus far. And, in New York, the Rangers seem to dominate the games. Ottawa, of course, took care of business. I know they needed overtime in the last one. But in New York, has Vigneault been able to get better matchups? Has that allowed New York to look that much better at home in this series?
No, I don't think New York has done anything different, to be honest with you, Jason. I think Ottawa was just crappy in both games. In both games, they didn't start the game. I was asked earlier today, what's the biggest key for Ottawa? And I said, well, the game starts at 7:37. The Rangers will be starting at 7:37. The question is, when's Ottawa going to start? If they play the way they want to play, which is boa constrictor, choke them off hockey, you have to do that with a lead or being even. You can't constantly do it being down by two, which means you got to start the game. And so I think the start of this game is huge for both these teams, because obviously if the Rangers get in a hole in an elimination game, that's not where you want to be against a good defensive team. And for Ottawa, you can't be a good defensive team if you have to open it up and catch up. So I think for Ottawa, when they played in here the last two games, the reason they lost wasn't anything special from the Rangers. It was particularly uninspired play from themselves and starting both games very badly.
Lundqvist has been very, very good in elimination games, especially at home. How did he get to this guy tonight?
One of two ways. It's either going to be the old traffic thing. Everybody says that you got to get traffic, or he might have one of his nights, and I mean that in a negative way. One of the things in this series is that both goaltenders at times have been very good, and at times in this series, both goaltenders have been very bad. So, there's been a lot of vary in this series. Ottawa might not have to do anything special if Lundqvist is going to have one of those nights. You think back some of the goals that he's given up in this game, in the series, and you think back on some of the goals that Anderson has given up in this series, and you just kind of shake your head. You think early in the series when Jean-Gabriel Pageot scored, when he scored his four, the first goal of that game that he scored was from the faceoff circle with a wrist shot. Henrik usually laughs at you when you try and make that shot. Well, If he's not going, he can, like I said, he and Craig Anderson are both the same in this series. As far as this series goes, they have both been very good at times, and they have both been very bad.
Dean, as always, we appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight, and if necessary, game 7 on Thursday.
All right. Thanks for the time, boys.
You betcha. Dean Brown from